We started a new series last week that I'm calling Come Home for Christmas. And I said a few weeks ago when I used to come home from college at Christmas time that my parents would already have the lights up. And when I would turn onto my road, I would see the lights starting from our little pasture all the way to my house. And it was like they were lighting my way home. And that was a place that I belonged, a place I was loved, a place I could walk right in without knocking, right? Because I was welcomed there. And it didn't really matter, you know, what was going on in my life, how I'd messed up, or, you know, how great things were going. It was my home, right? And I was welcomed there. And so I want you to hear this, this morning and through this series that you are welcomed here. That you are welcomed here. You are welcomed here because you are welcomed with Jesus. And we so want this to be a place, especially in this Christmas season, that you can come into and that you can just feel that welcome warmth in this place. That you can feel that this is a place that is safe, that you can just sit and be still and allow God to speak into your heart. And whatever's going on in your life and your relationships, that this is a place that you can belong. A place where you are loved. A place where you can meet Jesus. As I've said forever, you know, I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday, of course. It's my favorite. December's my favorite month, and I love to watch our kids. And, you know, last week we had our kids' musical. Wasn't that amazing? I just love to see them and their wide-eyed anticipation. And even opening here, leading us in Advent, opening up God's Word and reading God's Word, you know, just with a joy and an expected hope. And that's why I love kids, and I've said this over the years, that's why I want to grow up to be one, right? I think sometimes as adults, we lose that excitement, and as Kim was talking about that, just that wide-eyed anticipation, and we lose that hope that we have in Christ, and the peace, and the love, and the joy. So I want to grow up to be one. That's what I want to do. One reason I want to do that is because, you know, Jesus loved kids. And kids love Jesus. In fact, one day when Jesus was teaching, a whole bunch of little kids wanted to just come over and climb all over him. And, you know, and when that began to happen, all the grown-ups started to get nervous, right? And, you know, and started to say, hey, don't be climbing. He's very important, right? He's a very busy man. He doesn't have time for the likes of you. And I love what Jesus says to kind of put them in his place. In Matthew 18, 1 through 3, he says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to him and he placed the child among them and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And then in Matthew 19, 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So I want us to grow up and to be a child. And I'm not talking about being childish. Just childlike. Childlike in my trust, right? Childlike in my dependence upon God. Childlike in my hope. Childlike in my thankfulness. Childlike in my love. Childlike in our wonder, in our worship, and our joy. I want us to grow up and be childlike in our relationship with God. And the reason I want us to get to that place is so that we don't miss the incredible moments that God has for us. In this Christmas season and even beyond into this new year, that we're wide-eyed and we're anticipated and we're leaning in and we're childlike in our wonder and awe of who Jesus is. And we don't miss the moments that He wants us to unwrap each and every day. So this morning I wanted just to share with you how not to miss the moments of Christmas. Really, any moment that God gives us. And I've been learning this over the years from my children, from your children, right? and from really the story of Mary as well. The first thing we have to do in order not to miss the moments that God's had for us, we have to learn to live in the moment, right? Just to live in the moment. Have you ever noticed how kids just live, you know, in the right now? They just live right now. They live in the moment. They're just enjoying the right now, right now. Right? They're living in the moment. How many of you, when you unwrap Christmas presents, you unwrap them like a kid with reckless abandonment, or you unwrap them like an adult and you make sure you fold all the paper? How many of you are like a kid? Good, all right. Like an adult, like an old, yeah, you fold the paper. I see you, Molly. You fold the paper, make sure. Save the, what's that stuff you stick in the bags now? Huh? The tissue paper. Save the tissue paper. No, right? No, I'm one of those guys. I'm going to open them with reckless abandonment, right? And that's how kids open presents, right? They're not stressing about, you know, anything, right? They're not stressing about tomorrow. They're not focused on what happened yesterday or didn't happen yesterday. I mean, that's where that old saying comes from, right? That yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. It's a gift. And through Christmas, God is saying, I've given you this gift, so keep unwrapping it. There's a moment in there for you. It's a gift from a loving God. And I think some of us, we get so busy in life, and so busy, especially in this season of the year, I think some of us can't focus on the present that God puts right in front of us, because we have our eyes on the next one and the next one, right? Or maybe we've got our eyes on the one that someone else, you know, a present that someone else got, or a gift that someone else got that we wanted. Something, you know, someone else's life. And God always draws our attention to the present moment. And He says that scripture in Psalms 118, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that I have made, God says. This is the gift for you. There's power in this very moment. So He says, come on, unwrap it and live in this moment, you know, for there may not be another one. James 4 reminds us, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about it, you know, what may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And I think so many of us lack the vitality and the energy and the strength for the moment. And I think the reason is because we take some of the energy and some of the strength and we put it onto yesterday. Right? Because we're so worried about what happened yesterday. And then we take the remaining part and we put it on what might or might not happen tomorrow. And so we don't have enough strength to live this day, this moment. I love the story of Mary when she found out that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll kind of follow the story in Luke 1 today. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 is where we'll start. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary said, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary, just in that moment, said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Mary just learning to live in that moment by saying yes to God, His call on her life. And we'll talk about that more next week. But that's the first step of learning how not to miss the moments that God has for us. It's to live in the moment. And the second way to make sure that we don't miss the moments of Christmas is this. And this is my favorite, is to sing over the moments. You ever saw your kids, how they just can't hold it in sometime, and they just begin to sing, right? I mean, you look at the teenager Mary, you know, look what she did after her close encounter with the angel Gabriel. Look there in chapter 1 again, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's when she sang exuberantly in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servants. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." I love how the Message paraphrases it and says, "And Mary said, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on the earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others." And she just sang. She just sang this exuberant song. Don't you love people that kind of have that song in their heart all the time, and they're just always singing? You know, don't you just love to pull up beside people in the car, and you look over, and they're just kind of jamming out to a song, and they're singing, they're lost in their song, right? And, you know, and they got it on Spotify or, you know, Pandora, whatever they're listening to, right? And they're just going to town, and maybe they have their window down, you hear the song that they're singing, right? And you're trying to find it, and you begin to sing along right there at the red light with them. We're kind of harmonizing together. It's awesome. Don't you just love somebody that has a song in their heart? I mean, I always love to do that. I've been singing since I was a little kid. I think about the different times, the stories of singing in my life. When I played baseball in high school, I'd stand on shortstop, and, you know, in the middle of the inning, I'd just be singing. And, my go-to song was, "This is the day, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice." And the guy next to me, my third brother, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just singing, bro. I'm just singing. Just singing." I think of the time when I was riding my horse. I don't know why that brought peace in me. I'd just be kind of walking along with my horse, and I would just begin to sing. Nobody else can hear me, right? I just begin to sing. Or, you know, walking on campus. You know, I'm walking to a class and I'm just singing and people kind of look at me. Or sometimes even here in the office, I get caught, right, singing. And you know, they're like, "Come on, what are you doing? I'm just singing," right? I can remember when I was working in the family business, and I would come into the office and I would just every day just be singing a song. And I don't really know the words too much, so I make up my own words as I go, you know, but that's okay too, because it's just the song in my heart, right? And so I'm singing, and I had this old curmudgeon in the office, I'll call her, and you know, she always had a bad attitude, and she would just get so mad at me finally. She would just lose it, and she said, "Monty, what are you coming here singing every day for? Couldn't you just come in someday and have a bad attitude?" We're like, "What?" You know, it was a time when I would come into the work, and in my young life, it was when I just really recommitted my life to God and surrendered everything to Him, and I loved my job, and I loved the people that I worked with, and I was loving being a new husband at the time, and I was loving the Lord. I was just loving life, and so a song would just come out. And I guess over the years, I passed it on to my boys, right? Because my boys love to sing, and especially my older one, he would sing in the shower all the time, drive me crazy. But I told you several weeks ago that my quiet time place, my closet, was right next upstairs, next to the rooms, next to the bathroom. And one morning, Hunter was getting in the shower, and he was singing at the top of his lungs, just a young kid singing, right, and going on and on and on. And I was going like, oh, my goodness, how can I pray if you keep, you know? And so I bang on the wall and said, Hunter, how about shutting the singing down? And Hunter said, okay, right? And I went, wow, what did I just do, right? And I began to ask God to help me to just love it when my boys were singing. And I began to hope that my boys would never stop singing. You know, when life knocked them down, I hope they sing. When life is great, I hope they sing. When they are in love, I hope they sing. When they go to work, I hope they sing. When they're sitting in traffic, I hope they sing, right? And when they think of God, I hope they sing. When they're on top of the world, I hope they sing. Or when the world is on top of them, I hope they sing. I hope they grow up to sing over the moments. Lord, don't ever let me grow up so much that my heart quits singing. The third thing I think that can help us not to miss the moments is I'm learning more and more to ponder over the moments, just to soak up the moment. Are you good at recognizing and savoring the moments when you know that this is a moment, right? Are you good at that? I mean, have you ever had that time where you just knew that, man, this is a moment that may never come again? This is a moment that is unbelievable. I love how Mary, just a teenager, chosen by God to carry and deliver the Savior of the world. And just look what happened after the birth of Jesus. Look what it says in Luke 2:19. But Mary treasured up all these things and just pondered them in her heart. After all that had gone on, from the unexpected angel visit to the unexpected pregnancy to the unexpected delivery room filled with unexpected guests, Mary just soaked up the moment, pondering the gift of Jesus in her life. In preparing this, I just begin to think about those ponder moments in my life that maybe in that moment I wasn't, but now as I look back, I just want to kind of soak them up. You know, I want to ponder over those moments. I think about Kim walking down the aisle in our wedding. I did a wedding last night, and just reminding me of Kim walking down that aisle for me, you know, to see her for that first time coming down, you know, and knowing that in a few short moments that we would be married and we would be husband and wife forever. And it was just that moment, right? And it's such a powerful moment that, you know, we got down on our knees and together and we prayed the Lord's Prayer. And I was so serious about it, leading her into the Lord's Prayer. And just us, you know, on our knees together. And there was ruckus going on behind us. I couldn't figure it out. I was so upset. I was going, why are people, you know, talking? This is our moment. And then after the wedding, I realized that when I knelt down, on the back of my shoes were the words, help me. And that my brother-in-law had stuck mailbox sticker, you know, letters on my shoe, help me. And all my fraternity brothers up in the balcony were just dying laughing. Trying to mess up my moment, right? I think about the birth of my sons and just holding them and realizing, wow, they are my responsibility now. The miracle of the birth of my boys. And now even when we pick up our boys from the airport, and they're coming to stay with us, and they're coming this Christmas. We're so excited. And they come into the airport, and my grandchildren see me, and they begin to run toward me, Gumby, Gumby, Gumby. And it's just a moment. Because I know just a few years, they won't even really know who Gumby is, right? But now they just, Gumby, Gumby, Gumby. It's a moment. Of course, I think about all the mission trips that I've been on. And several years ago, some of us adults went on a mission trip to Guatemala. We went to this malnutrition center there in Guatemala and with one more child. And I and Saber Myers was chosen to be on the canaries, which were the 1 and 2 year olds. So we were with, these 10 or so 1 and 2 year olds that were malnourished and struggling with other things. And these kids were so glad to see you. They just climb all over you, right? And they were so grateful. Even for the smallest things, I would kind of get down on their knees and I would begin to juggle for them, and their eyes would get so big, and it was like, whoa, right? And they were just so amazed at my talent, which was really nothing. And then they climb up in your lap and put their head on your chest and just sit there. And it was as if they were soaking up the fact that someone is there giving them something, giving them their your attention. And I just think back and I just ponder those moments. Opportunity to share Jesus' love with those little two-year-olds. My favorite radio announcer for sports, of course, is the radio announcer that was for the Gators. Just retired about a year ago. And has been, the voice of the Gators for like 20-something years. And I was watching a documentary of him, of his career several weeks ago. And he had this kind of signature statement, right? Whenever something good happened with the Gators, which wasn't all the time, but some of the time, he'd go, he's going to score a touchdown. Oh, my, the Gators are going to win the national championship. Oh, my. And he would just go, oh, my. And through that documentary, he just kind of sung that all the way through. And as I was listening to that, I just felt compelled to share with you this morning that I was sensing God saying to my spirit, Monty, you just don't oh my me enough anymore. That Monty, you used to look at the sunrises and the sunsets that I painted and you just go, oh my. Or you'd go to the mountains and see the leaves turn and in the fall, and the miracle of that, and you just would go, oh my. Watch little fingers and perfect little toes of newborn babies and their little eyelashes, and you used to just marvel and go, oh my. And you used to love to watch a life just being transformed by the power of God before your very eyes, and you would say, oh my. And you used to love to stand and worship with wonder and grateful singing to me, and you just say, oh my. And I've been sensing that God has been saying to me, Monty, you don't oh my enough. You're just doing life. And I'm kind of a list person, a to-do list person, and so I'm just checking them off. And I miss those oh my moments that God wants us to unwrap. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And I just want to live in the moment and unwrap the gift of God's presence that He gives me each and every day. And I just want to, I want to sing over the moments until the day I die. And I want to keep pondering the gift of Jesus in my life, because God has given me a great gift. A great gift. We talked about it, I think, the first week of the series, our favorite Christmas movies, and you were sharing with each other your favorite Christmas movies. And I do have a favorite Christmas movie. I got a favorite one, and it involves kids and a bunch of cartoon kids. one by the name of Lucy and Pigpen and Schroeder, right? And then this goofy dog named Snoopy, right? And then these two guys. Watch this. And
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Christmas, you can clap for Charlie. Christmas wouldn't be completed without a little preaching from Linus, right? My boy Linus can preach. Back then it wasn't drop the mic, it was drop the blanket. Yeah. Hey, this is the truth right here, Charlie. So you see, the real meaning of Christmas is that God has given us a gift. And all he longs for every single one of us to do is to embrace that gift and become his child. You know, I'm talking about Jesus, the baby. He grew up to be the Savior of the world. John 1:12 says, Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, this baby in a manger grew up to take our sins on a cross so that we could be forgiven and enter into a relationship with a heavenly Father and be his child. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. And so the desire for you this Christmas should be to embrace the gift and grow up to be his child. And he's made a way for that to happen through you and I embracing the gift of forgiveness through faith in that little baby in that manger. And if you really think about the gift that God has given us through Jesus, it gives you reason to live in the moment and to sing over the moments and to ponder every single day, to live with this joyful expectancy. And that's my wish for you this Christmas, that you would embrace the hope, embrace the grace of God, and that maybe sometime during this season, or better yet, maybe in this very moment right now, that you would come home this Christmas, and that you would humble yourself and become his child. Will you do that? Let's don't miss what God is wanting to give us each and every day. Let's don't miss the moments. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you so much for just the simple gospel that, Father, you share with us through the gift of your Son, Jesus. So simple, Father, that even Linus can teach us what it means to us, what Christmas is really all about. And Father, I pray that we might not miss the moments that you have for us. It's my prayer, Father, that we wouldn't miss even this moment right now, Father, that as you speak into our hearts, Father, as your Spirit draws our spirit, Father, that we would be open to you. And that we wouldn't miss this moment that you're speaking into our hearts. That, Father, this Christmas we might not get all caught up with the hustle and bustle of the season and all the decorations and all the parties, Father. All those things are great, God, but that we would make sure, Father, we wouldn't miss the reason for all this celebration. And that is that you love us so much that you willingly gave up your Son to come and to live on this earth and to go all the way to the cross for us, pay for our sins, our messiness. So, Father, I pray that if there's anyone in here, anyone that is listening, Father, this morning, that God, that you'd give them the courage to not miss this moment and to accept you as their Lord and Savior and receive that grace gift, that forgiveness that you offer through Jesus. May we say, like Mary, say yes to you and begin to live in the moments that you give us each and every day and sing over them, Father, and soak them up, Father, so that we can be used by you. And Father, I pray for those of us who have been walking in relationship with you over the years, Father, that we wouldn't just, it wouldn't just be a routine thing that we do each and every year or each and every day, Father, that we wouldn't just, you wouldn't just be a check that we check off our list, Father, but that we would focus on you. The gift of Jesus that you've given us and how we can take that gift and share him with others. Especially in this season, God. Give us that opportunity to share the good news, to invite people to hear the story of Christmas. So that through power of your Holy Spirit, you can bring change into their lives. And they can become a child of yours as well. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. And we so thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.